work you did on that. That was amazing. Happy Father's Day to the fathers. I've done a message in the past on Father's Day, so some of y'all probably remember some of my corny stories and jokes. So just ignore those or laugh anyway if you hear something that you've heard before. I want to start off, it'll go, I think, pretty good with what we just discussed about Vacation Bible School and just looking at the babies that we have out here, the new babies. I want to do a Father's Day message, and point number one is that children are a blessing. I had a student in school this year who came up to me and was upset and said that he went over to see his dad. His mom and dad were split up, and went over to see his dad, and his dad said, "What are you doing here? Get out of my house." And you could just tell he was tore up, so I tried to comfort him the best I could, but just realizing that some people are not blessed with fathers like I had, a father that loved me and cared for me and provided for me. So the number one point is children are a blessing, a gift from God. If you would turn to Psalm 127. Children are a blessing from God. And just seeing these new mothers and these new dads look down in the face of their children, you can tell that they understand that their children are a blessing from God. I'm going to try to go pretty fast. I know some people have luncheons and things with their dad, so I'm going to try to get out a few minutes early if I can. Psalm 127, verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Here we see that children are a heritage from the Lord. It's a gift from God. And some of the ones, I have two wonderful ones myself. Some of y'all have beat me. I'm competitive. Some of y'all have many more than I do, but your quiver is full of them, and what a blessing that is. If you'll turn over to Psalm 128, Psalm 128, verse 1, a song of ascent. "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your home. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, this shall be the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life." Right here in the middle of this psalm, it says, "Your wife shall be a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, and then your children like olive plants." And I really didn't understand what that meant, olive plants. And I looked it up, and this was precious to me, so I just want to share it with you. Olive trees, I didn't know this, can live to be 1,500, 2,000 years old. And when they get very old like that, they get the insides kind of hollow out. It's like a hollow tree, so wind can come through and just blow the trees down. But the way the Lord made them, there's these little olive shoots come out of the roots, and they grow like beside them, and they grow up little shoots around them, and they protect the tree from the wind. And this is a picture of hopefully Jenna and Jacob taking care of the old man as I'm getting older and older. So I just thought that was neat to see that you'll have children like olive plants that will protect you and look after you in your old age. And then verse 6 says, "Yes, you may see your children's children." Oh, I haven't got there yet, but we have some grandparents here. And what a joy to see them as they talk and love on their grandchildren. Peace be upon Israel. And then if you'll turn over to Psalm 139, Psalm 139. Thinking about children being a blessing, a gift from God. Psalm 139:13, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Just thinking about even before we're born, when we're in our mother's womb, or even before that, God knew us by name and He formed us in our mother's womb. How He cared for us before we even born, and how He is the Heavenly Father and we should be like Him and be loving our children and thankful to have them. In Proverbs 17:6, it says, "Children's children are a crown of old men." Children's children. So it's a blessing to be able to see your grandchildren, as some of y'all have got to do. "And the glory of the children is their father." Thinking about my father and when I was growing up, how thankful I was to have him. And just thinking, when you're a little kid, just thinking about how big and how strong your dad is. And you have kind of honor and looking up to him. And still to this day, I'm so thankful for my dad and for him still being with me today. Matthew 18:10 says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see their face of the Father who is in heaven." Believe here that it's talking about a guardian angel, that each child has a guardian angel. And you hear about these awful stories about children being abused, taken advantage of. But we need to remember that, not to despise them, not to look down on them, not to say, well, this is just another mouth to feed, but treat them as precious gifts from God that we've been given. Mark 10:13. "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them," Jesus. "But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.' And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them." Picture of Jesus loving on children, bringing them in. I think about the song that we used to sing, "Jesus Loves the Little Children," and how we used to sing that in my Bible school 40 or 50 years ago, just thinking about Jesus loving us and loving the little children. What a picture that is, and that's the way to heaven is being humble like a little child and realizing that we need Christ. And then the last verse I'd like to read about children are a blessing is John 16:21. "A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world." Us guys get it easy as far as the birth of the children. I was just there watching and trying to help Lisa through it. Both of ours were C-section babies, so we knew we were going at Friday at 8 o'clock to have a baby. So that was kind of neat as far as the schedule, but it was still still rough on Lisa. She got sick with Jenna. I think I've told y'all this before. She wasn't able to breastfeed because she was sick in kind of intensive care for the first two or three days. And I got the privilege of having a little cup, kind of like the cup we have here for the Lord's Supper. And Jenna was just lapping the milk out of the little cup. And that was, even though I wouldn't want Lisa to be sick, it was a privilege to be able to do that and have that time with Jenna. So just seeing that baby the first time and then going, you've got all those babies in there and you're pointing as a dad, "That's mine right there, that's mine right there." I think ours were 9'3 and 9'6, so they were pretty big sized babies, so we could pick them out. So the first thing I want us to remember and realize that children are a blessing. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know that y'all love your children, but I just wanted to start with that. Second point I want to go over are that fathers are to be providers. We're supposed to take care of our family, take care of our children. If you'll turn to Genesis 30:30. Fathers are to be providers for their families, for their children. Genesis 30:30, for what have I had before you, I came with little. This is Jacob talking to Laban, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now when I also provide for my own house. So Jacob here is wanting to, is talking about the sheep and everything, how he had increased his the flock for Laban, and now he wanted to provide for his own house. Something inside of a man that wants to take care and provide for his family. Luke 11:11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we see here that it's talking about God the Father will give gifts, that we should go and ask him, because earthly fathers know how to give good gifts. So that's kind of understood that we as fathers know what our children need and we provide that for them. And then 2 Corinthians 12:14. Now for the third time, I am ready to come and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for their parents, but the parents for the children. What I got out of this is that it is nice to have Jacob. He mows our yard for us, but I don't think we should send our kids out and do all the work, and then we, which Jacob may be saying, well, that's what you're doing, Dad, but that we should not depend on them to provide for us, at least when we're like this age, when we're still able. But we should go out and provide for them, not count on. I've heard of farmers and stuff. My granny had 10 sisters and one brother, and they said he was looking for sons to work on the farm. So this may have to do with him, but my granny, she could outwork any man, so I think he did okay for that. One thing that I wanted to just share with you, a personal story, is that I think that probably the best gift, my dad is a gift giver, and that's the way he shows his love and giving me a lot of nice gifts, but probably the best gift he ever gave me was the one that he didn't give me, if that makes sense. I was wanting, I think I may have said this before, I wanted a black Trans Am like it was in Smokey and the Bandit. And I really, really wanted it bad. And instead of a black Trans Am, I got a, it wasn't a fancy one, it was an old 1974 Chevrolet Impala. Kind of an old dingy yellow that would take up the whole side of the road. And my dad said, when he gave it to me, gave me the keys, he said, put your baseball bat, your baseball glove, and your golf clubs in the trunk. That's the only sports car you're ever going to get from me. So looking back, it wasn't funny to me at the time when he told me that. But looking back, it was probably a blessing to me. Who I've heard and seen that they go pretty fast, so who knows what could have happened to me. So even though I was upset, now looking back, I'm probably thankful that he didn't give me that gift. Okay, so we look, children are a blessing, and fathers are to provide for their families, for their children. The next thing I would like to look at are that we are to be examples for our children. We're to be examples. If you'll turn to Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16. We're going to be examples, whether we want to be or not. I remember, I think it was Charles Barkley was telling people one time when he was playing that he wasn't acting very nice. They said, "You know, you're an example to millions of kids." He said, "I don't want to be an example." Well, whether we want to be an example or not, we're going to be one. So this is talking about being a good one. Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So this is talking about before men, but I think also before our children, we should let our light shine, and that will give glory to God in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." I think about that as far as who we as fathers hang around. Our children can see that, and if we're hanging around people that are evil, talking dirty, or whatever the case is, our children see that, and that can affect them. Ephesians 5:1, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." Here again, talking about the company that we keep, how we act, how we talk, things like that. We should be above reproach. We have little eyes watching us. They're seeing what we're doing, and that can have a big effect on them. And then the last one to talk about being an example, James 4:17. "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Thought about this is that a lot of times I've seen and heard, and hopefully I haven't done it myself, but I can't put it past myself, do what I say, not as I do. I've heard that said a lot. Do as I say, not as I do, whatever it is. It could be 1,000 different things. Don't do this. I'm going to do it, but you don't do it. That doesn't work. Okay, I think children look at more what we do than what we say. I thought of two examples. One of them's on me, but I'm going to start with Andy Griffith. I love the Andy Griffith Show. And there was one time that there was an old cannon that they were trying to get rid of. And Andy called it horse trading. And he was saying, I can't remember the details, maybe Robert E. Lee shot it. And what? Teddy Roosevelt. This was Teddy Roosevelt's cannon. And he just played it up. And he sold it for much more than it was worth. And Opie's little eyes were just sitting there watching, and his ears were listening to it. So then, maybe the next day, Opie comes up with all this candy and all this stuff that he got, maybe some toys. And Andy said, "Opie, where did you get all that stuff?" I can't remember if it was a cup link or something not worth anything. And he was just saying on and on and on what this was, doing what his daddy just did, horse trading. And Andy said, "Son, you cannot do that. That's lying. That's not telling the truth." He said, "That's what you did." And Andy said, no, I didn't do that." He said, "Yes, you did." And he kept on going back, "No, mine was just innocent horse trading." And he said, That's what I did. And he just kept going back and forth. But little Opie was looking at his dad, and then his dad finally saw that, yes, what I did was wrong. And Opie had seen that and taken it under. So sometimes we don't even realize it, that what we're doing is wrong, and then our children, we can see it in other people quicker than we can ourselves. And the next one's on me. Most of y'all know I like to play sports and things like that. Sometimes I get heated. Sometimes on the golf course, I get upset. I think Andy might have saw me on the pickleball court and get upset. I lost 3 games last year. But anyway, this was talking about golf. Me and Jacob playing golf, and I get frustrated, and I don't really want to tell you what I did, but it wasn't good. And then we go out and watch Jacob playing for the, well, he doesn't really do it for the on the golf team, thank the Lord, but just playing on maybe with Trey or somebody, and he gets upset, and I think, where in the world did he get that from? And then Lisa reminds me, or he reminds me, or Jenna, that that's the way I do. So I've seen this up close and personal, that that children see what you do, and a lot of times they'll follow right in your footsteps. So make sure you're setting a good example. Okay, the next one is we just had our 27th wedding anniversary. So this one's for Lisa. Fathers need to love their wives. Genesis 2:24, if you'll turn to that. Genesis 2:24. Just while you're turning to it, Steve, you're not going to believe where I took her for our anniversary. I don't know what happened to me. Chapel Hill. It was rough, but we made it through. Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Just thinking about this is being joined together. Not going to mention any names here. It's nobody here, but it's a couple that I know, and the children go to their dad and say, Daddy, I want this, I want that, I want this, and he says no. Then they sneak around and ask their mom and say, Mom, I want this and that, and she goes out and gets it for them. So it's like they're playing their dad and their mom against each other. They don't keep their money in the same pot. And so one, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing, and they kind of sneak around like that. And that's not what this verse is saying. We should become one flesh in our money, in our bringing them to church, studying God's word. It should be a discipline. That's another important one. Staying together as one when we're relating to our children. Okay, next, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting with verse 1. Now concerning the things which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her, and likewise let the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer. Come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. This one about loving your wife. It's an example for your kids to have a one-woman man. Us guys need to be one-woman men. Only have eyes and love for one woman. And our children, especially our sons, are looking to us to that, how we're treating our wives. Do we love them and care for them as we should? This next one is for the younger people that have not got married yet. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? This one is in my own extended family. I've seen this, how rough it is for a believer and an unbeliever to be together. If you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and the other person doesn't even believe in God, then how are you going to be one together? It's going to cause a lot of problems in your marriage, raising the children. It's just a thing that you don't want to even get into. So I just encourage the young people to make sure that you marry a believer in Jesus Christ. It's very, very important. And then Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. just in my own life, when I have, Lisa and I have a closer relationship with each other, it makes me feel so much better about myself, confidence, strength, when our relationship is right. So just encourage you to husbands to love our wives, and the perfect example is how Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. This is one that I struggle with. If something is maybe not going exactly right that I think is not right, then sometimes Lisa will tell you that it's hard for me to let it go, that I hold it. And that's the thing that I need to work on, is make sure that we don't go to bed, don't go to sleep, don't go to bed angry at one another, to hold short accounts and not let bitterness grow in our heart toward our spouse. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. We're going to be talking about this in a minute, about prayer, but you don't want your prayer to be hindered because you don't have a right relationship with your spouse. We need to love our spouse, love our wives, give honor to them, and care for them. For sake of time, I'm not going to read the next one, but I'll let you read it. It's Proverbs 31, also for the young people. I'll try to read one verse or two verses. Proverbs 31, 29. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. This is talking about his wife. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. This is another for the young people. We are people that do a lot, especially our society, at looks. We go by looks a lot. But more important than looks, guys, is if they fear the Lord. If they're a believer, if they love the Lord, that's the type of woman that you want. Beauty can go away, thankfully. Lisa has both. So I'm thankful for that. But sometimes we guys look for the outside and not for the heart. And we know that God looks on the heart. I would encourage you to do that, to look at the heart. Okay, so I'm going to have to skip over a few things. All right, the next one I'd like to look at, that one's about loving your wives. I think that sets a great example for the sons and daughters, but especially for the sons. There's a story that I don't have time to read, but I think it was, Jeff, who's your friend from Louisiana?
Bob Brown,
about the seven, as I encourage you, if you haven't heard it, the seven cow wife. And he paid extra for this plain-looking woman. Normally they give one, two for a plain-looking woman, three or four for a pretty nice-looking woman, and nobody ever paid seven. This guy paid seven, and because he paid so much for that plain-looking wife, she turned into the most beautiful lady in the whole, I think they were on an island, the most beautiful lady on the island. And what a picture that Bob showed us on this is that think about how much God paid for us. He gave his son for us, and how we should live just a joyful, happy, loving life because how much was paid for us. It's a great story. Okay, the next one I would like to look at, and I think this is one that us as men sometimes neglect. Fathers should pray for their children. Fathers should pray for their children. And I'm just going to have to kind of summarize these. John 17:6-26, Jesus is praying to his Father, talking about his disciples, the believers, and for us, because he said the ones that will come to know me later, pray for them. He was praying for unity. He was praying that they will know love, unity. So Jesus, this is John 17:6-26. If you want to write it down, you can go back and look over it. But John 17, where Jesus is praying for us, gives an example that we should be praying daily for our children. I would like to read this one, Ephesians 3:14. Paul would go to the different cities, and he would start a church there, local church, and then he would always pray for them. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family is heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He also does this in Philippians. He also does this in Colossians. He's praying for, and he calls them sometimes his children. They're his spiritual children that he led to the Lord. And I was looking at these prayers in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and what, of course, with Paul writing the majority of the New Testament, how spiritual they were. And sometimes I thought about my own prayers, that sometimes mine are more worldly for my children. I'm thinking about where they go to school, which is still important, who they marry, which is, we just talked about that, that's important, maybe their job, where they're going to work. That all those things are good and we should pray for them. But as Paul is showing here, it's more important to pray for their relationship with the Lord. That should be our number one thing, that they love God and put him first in their life. Okay, let's apologize for rushing through here. The last one I'd like to go over is fathers need to teach and discipline our children. I think this is, sometimes this is the hardest one. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Deuteronomy 6:6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall walk them when you are sitting in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. We should constantly be reading the Bible, memorizing verses, saying verses, taking them to the local meetings, to the Lord's Supper, encouraging them to go to the Bible studies, filling them with God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now we know this is to Timothy. We know that it was mainly his mother and his grandmother that poured God's Word. I'm not sure about where his dad was, but sometimes I think us as dads, sometimes we may depend on our wives to do that part of it, and we need to step up as the leaders in the household. We need to be the one leading them in the Scriptures. Okay, so that's about teaching. Now about discipline. And I've talked to several people about this, and this one is a hard one. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Okay? The children, I know Jacob didn't agree with that when I had to whip him, that this is going to hurt me more than it is you. Sometimes that doesn't go over too good with a child when you're whipping them. But if you really love your children, you're going to discipline them. If you really love them, you're going to discipline them, because one that has discipline and follows the instructions of their father are more likely to become a Christian, to follow the rules, to want a relationship with God. One that just goes their own way and that they don't ever have any discipline, then it's very difficult, very difficult. Proverbs 29:17, correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Hebrews 12:7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. We see here that God deals with us, if we're his children, he disciplines us. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So even though it's not pleasant at the time, we don't like to be disciplined by God. We don't like to be disciplined by our fathers, but it's because they love us. Again, to the young people, I know that that's hard to understand. Why are they taking my phone away or whatever the case is? It's because they love you and they want what's best for you. I know that it's hard in the present, but later on you'll look back at it, like me not getting that Trans Am, and you'll see that it was for your own good. It was for the best. There's one story that I skipped. I just want to share it with you one time. This has helped Lisa and I probably more than anything. It's just a funny thing that's happened. If the toilet is not down, if the kitchen's not cleaned up, if the trash is not taken out, Lisa's gotten to the habit of, somebody did not do this. Somebody did not do that. Somebody did not do this. And I'm thinking, I wish we could find that somebody. If we could find that somebody, we would have a perfect household if we could find him. So we're still looking for him. We haven't found him yet, but it sounds better than Todd didn't do this. Somebody sounds better. Okay, in closing, this is as a father myself, and as fathers out there, this is to the children. This is would be our prayer. This is 3 John. There's only one chapter, verse 4. And this is what John is saying to his spiritual children, the Apostle John. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for being the best Father, our Heavenly Father, the greatest Father, the awesome Father that does everything just right. We know that we as imperfect human beings, that we don't discipline maybe right sometimes. We don't set the examples. We don't pray like we should. Whatever the case is, pray that you'll help us to be better fathers. Help us to love our children, to love our wives, and to be more like you. Be more like you as a father. Pray that you'll help us with that. We just thank you for your son. And just as we talked about this morning in the Lord's Supper about how you loved him perfectly from eternity past and you were willing to give him up for us. We don't understand it, but we know it's true. And we just thank you for him. In his name we pray. Amen.